BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Hello, everyone. It's the BS and Beer. I don't know if crew is the right word. Craig Wright had some things to say.
More like the BS and Beer brew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Boom, boom. Hey, I usually don't like to do these post-game shows because I end up, you know, probably saying things that make you seem silly later. But I have an advantage over you guys. I gave up last week, so I had zero expectation going on in this game. So when what happened, it really didn't surprise me. It didn't really, I don't know how to say it. It reminded me of the good old days where you just watch the game for the sake of having something to do on Sunday afternoon. Craig, on the other hand, I feel like he may have some interesting points and some interesting takes, and based on his emotions, I think we might have some, because I'm going to try to keep him grounded and see how that works out. So, Craig, welcome in. How you doing, my friend?
You know what, Dave? I've had better days. How are you doing?
I am. You know what? The weather's crappy. It's cold.
Is it? But
yeah. Well, okay.
You know, out here in the beautiful state of Louisiana, it's been a little chilly, but the rain has stopped. You know, it ain't been as wetting. A little bit of drizzle yesterday, but you know, the mud's mostly dry. And you take the little wins out here. You know, you live in hurricane country, and you just get happy that your house is intact. You know, so I think we should look at the positives in life, right?
Fair enough. I think that's where the positive end. Craig, give me your biggest takeaway from the Saints game.
Well, the biggest takeaway is that we don't get takeaways.
Okay.
I had a nice little conversation with you guys on the show last week about how we were going to, you know, give the ball away and ruin our golden opportunity. And I just want everyone to know, I was joking on the show. I thought we were going to handle the Steelers and that we were going to be in this for a couple more weeks. And I'm a fool.
I can confirm that. He came out and said, that was just for radio, Dave. Because I give him crap because he's always the positive spin guy. I try to be level-headed, and it's always funny. The positive spin guy calls the guy who's like, well, you know, maybe not guy. Oh, you're negative. But he came back and he said, man, I think we'll handle this. And I don't know, Craig. The first thing that goes through my mind in terms, I'm going to put it from the perspective of the guy who I have no expectations going in this game. But on top of that, that was after losing last week and not really considering the injury report. We go into the game with a backup center, backup left guard, and the left tackle who's already a backup, although you can't really complain too much about him because you kind of see that he was playing good football relative.
He was playing all right. He
was playing good football relative to what we saw. You realize that he is a good veteran left tackle. Landon Young comes in the game and it was just horrible. I mean, he was, I don't want to say literally, I hate people use that word, but he was beat off the ball with very little resistance most of the game that he was in there. So the point that I'm going to make, and it almost sounds like I'm defending the Saints, and I guess I am at some point. My point is, I'm just not going to extrapolate that into like, oh, we should win more. The point is what were we really expecting? We couldn't run the ball. You had almost, you know, 3/5 of your offensive line is injured. Couldn't run the ball. You didn't have time to pass. And if you did have time to pass, you have Andy Dalton passing the ball, which in the right conditions.
Now, Dave, I've been told that Andy Dalton's benefit is that he gets the ball out quick and then he gets the snap and he gets rid of it. I thought that's why we weren't playing Jameis Winston, was because Andy Dalton get the ball out. Bullshit. Andy Dalton is a hindrance to this team. I don't care. No, I would rather start Taysom Hill, and I'm not joking. I've seen Taysom Hill win football games. Andy Dalton he's done nothing to earn any kind of respect. He's done nothing to earn another week at this job. If I am a diehard Saints fan. If he starts a quarterback next week, I'm not watching. I'm going to take the kids to the park. I can't do this to myself anymore. My heart can't handle. I'm an offensive lineman. My heart isn't good as it starts. You know, I've got some health issues from being this big for this long. All right. And I can't put myself through this every week. The Andy Dalton out there, if the team looks like they don't care, and they look like they didn't care today, they were flat, lackadaisical. It looked like they weren't playing. You know, I know you're hurt. I know you're on the road. I know it's cold. I know it's been a rough season, but there are people who spend their good ass earned money. People who fly out to Pittsburgh to go see you. There are people who whatever you do on that damn field, whether it matters or not, impacts their life in a certain way. And I'm one of them damn people that I let this stupid nonsense impact my life for positive or negative for an entire damn week. And if you're going to do that shit to me, I don't need to give you that energy. You know, I have better things I could be doing with my time than letting Andy Dalton and Dennis Allen, which I could have an entire show talking about Dennis Allen. I'm ready to do so if you got a minute. I can't do this to myself anymore, and y'all shouldn't either.
Well, I'm looking at this as okay. Even this morning, I was really excited for football. You know, we had a good day yesterday, man. Some teams we want to win won, some teams we need to lose lost. And coming into the game, watching the Bucs, I just looked at the Bucs, and I'm just being fair and reasonable that you can make the Bucs look really bad and incompetent if you can do certain things and like score points on them, you know, and which is not a huge challenge. The problem is, and it's not that you, what I'm trying to say, I got to make sure I say this the right way. It's not that, oh, that defense that Bucks have, you can't score them. No, no, no. All you have to do is be a competent team, and you can score points on them, you know, like a regular team does. The problem is most of the teams in the NFC can't. So what happens is Brady just gets to sit back there, hold the ball for 2 seconds, throw it away if it's not working, and then the rest of the teams can't do anything on their defense, and then they just eventually wear you down and win the game because Brady is smart, and he's a good quarterback, and he won't make mistakes. He doesn't necessarily have to beat you with great plays. He just plays solid football. On our side, we have Andy Dalton. And that means that you're going to be out there, and if things aren't working right, you have no running game. There's nothing you can do. He doesn't have the arm strength to make plays down the field. Even if he did, he makes some bad decisions. Listen, I'm not trying to all of a sudden turn on Andy Dalton. I've never been a big fan. I like the fact that he got the ball out seemingly quick and decently accurate when we were running the ball. When you aren't running the ball, and the most important thing, getting it to Kamara, which we all talked about, right? But as soon as things don't go his way, there's no running game, you are done. There is nothing. The offense is lifeless. And so what do you do? As soon as early in the game, when I realized Pittsburgh was not going to let us run the ball, I just kind of slumped down in my chair and said, just watch the game and enjoy it. And exactly what I thought would happened. So, again, I'm not trying to put this all on Andy Dalton. He's a backup quarterback. He was signed to be a backup quarterback. But if you want to put in perspective, Andy Dalton as a, you know, 28-year-old guy in Cincinnati, he wasn't that great then. So what makes you all of a sudden think he's going to come in there with the offensive skill position players that we have, the offensive line that we have, the defense that we have, that will put considerable amount of pressure on you because they're going to let the other team score? What makes you think that Andy Dalton is going to bring this team to the next level?
I think that's what makes me so angry, is that he doesn't have to take us to the next level. I mean, the Steelers were
I'm sorry, next offense. Level just meaning
yeah, no, football, no, yeah. You know. No, I agree. He didn't have to be good. He just had to not be terrible. And he was. And all right, and I understand when he had the effective running game and the defense was playing well, he could win games. Everyone can win games.
Me and you could have won games in that situation.
The whole point is you put that around anybody. You don't need a quarterback anymore because you have that kind of support around him. We don't have that support right now. The defense, it was mediocre before it got hurt, and it's all banged up. The running game couldn't get going. We got no damn linemen. Our offensive line did not play nearly as badly as the stat line showed. And a lot of that was Andy freaking Dalton, where he would hold the ball. He would step into pressure. He would check down out of reads that he didn't need to do, where he'd have Alvin Kamara open for a first down in the middle of the damn field and want to throw that out to Juwan Johnson again for whatever damn reason. Look, Andy Dalton is not a perfect quarterback, and he would be a fine backup to come and take a knee when you're up by 30, but I never want to see him take another snap for the Saints. I can't do it anymore. He's not good enough. That's all that there is. There is a potential. With Taysom Hill, there's potential because he's that athletic freak. With Jameis Winston, there's a potential. He has the big arm. He's thrown for 5,000 yards. He can make things happen. There is no potential with Andy Dalton. The best case scenario for Andy Dalton is mediocrity, and mediocrity is not good enough.
Well, first of all, I want to agree before I move on to some other point is I agree with you. The whole point of Andy Dalton is that you put him in there, he won't make mistakes. He'll keep the offense on time. He'll you know, keep them on with the chains. You're moving it. You're making first downs. You're not making mistakes. He's going to put the ball in the hands of the playmakers. If you're not doing that or can't do that, then he's useless. And that was the point I made. And I think in a different way, we got to the same point is that
100%.
If things ain't running perfect. Now, let's move on to Taysom Hill. Now, I've heard people, I heard the, you know, the murmurs last week. And they're talking about, and my mind says, No, we're not interested in going back to that. I already saw what Taysom Hill has, but then I have to stop and reevaluate. I was basing my feelings off of Taysom Hill as potentially next Drew Brees, right? The next great quarterback. Now my standards are completely different. If we had a quarterback like Hill seemed to be, could beat all the bad teams. Now, I don't think he was going to do a whole bunch to get you wins against teams that were just superior. But he beat the hell out of all the bad teams. And that's what we're playing. And yes, so did he have all the tools that you need to be a great quarterback in the league? I don't think so. Did he have all the tools to beat good teams? I don't think so. But man, when you played the Atlantas and you played the bad teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, the Jets, he came up big and he looked like a real good quarterback. He had a high completion percentage. My feelings were more like he's not the quarterback of the future. So now it's like I would consider we gain nothing, lose nothing. Like, are we talking future? Are we trying to make the playoffs? And I don't even know if, like, are we even capable of making the playoffs? Does the defense play better if the Saints start showing life on offense? So anyway, I know I did a lot of talking. Taysom Hill, viable option at quarterback? Or is it Jameis Winston, who's not apparently not completely healthy? Still,
he broke his back this year. Everyone says, oh, he's 100%. He's not 100%. He broke his goddamn back. It's just a question of whether or not he's good enough to be better than Andy Dalton. And I'm pretty sure the two people on this show right now are in the realm of I'm joking. We're not.
He's like, I don't want to go that far.
I don't go that far. I played offensive line for a reason. But there's Andy Dalton. He's never going to be better than he was in the second half of the Arizona game. And the second half of the Arizona game wasn't good enough. We didn't come back. We couldn't score enough points. You know, he played really well in garbage time against a prevent defense. We need some. We're two games out of it now. It's effectively with our schedule in front of us and with how we've been playing and our injuries, it's over. We have a chance to start looking forward. I know people are going to say, well, we don't have a first round pick. Bullshit. We have a first round pick we already used. We have a first round, a left tackle. And with the injuries on this offensive line right now, adding a left tackle is a big fucking pick. So I'm glad we have that.
Well, we talked about it in in our group message about what is Penning's role going to be. Are they just going to supplant Hurst? Maybe do they move Hurst inside or do they move Penning? It's now that's in the history. Now they're looking at Penning like, you know, we said a couple of weeks, but how you feeling today, buddy? You know,
I'd shut him down for the year at this point. Honestly, there's no point anymore.
Who
he is? He's a guy that you want to have as your left tackle for 10 years. Why even bother? With he's coming back from an injury. He was in a scooter for 3 weeks, and then he was in a boot for weeks, and now he can finally walk under his own power. And hey, you know, you want to come out here and play some football and protect Andy Dalton so that he can check it down for 3 yards on 3rd and 15. You want to do that? No, you don't want to do that. How about you play next year when we have a fucking chance to win games? Because we don't right now.
Well,
with Dennis Allen and Andy Dalton, we will not win another game.
We're going to disagree on this one. Now, I will agree with the fact that maybe not what the sarcastic thing I said and bring the guy in, you know, next week, obviously. But when he feels ready to go, I feel like if you want him to be good next year, because we got to keep in mind he was still raw and improving every week. Every time we saw him, he was improving. But having said that, I want him to have at least 4 games under his belt, 5 games under his belt. When the next season rolls around, then he's not starting from basically where he started in training camp last year. That would be my goal. So he needs to.
No, you're right. He needs reps. especially on the offensive line. Reps are, there is no substitute for it. There's nothing else you can do but play an offensive line.
But I would agree with you. I would not rush him. And I said that tongue in cheek, but I wouldn't be rushing him back. I would make sure he's 100%. Because here's the problem. We talked about it. We play Tampa Bay again. So we're really only one. And hear me out before you correct me. We're really only one game out, right? But there's two problems with that. We are not good enough to beat them. And two, we're not going to win many more games to keep up with them, even if they go 500 the rest of the season.
Sure.
And when it's all said and done, I mean, just to sit here and wish for the Saints to somehow start being competitive, even if it's just to win seven games to get in the playoffs, I don't know where you find seven wins in this team. On top of everything, the coaching issues, the poor play, the poor quarterback, we're decimated with injuries. It's over. It's a wrap.
It is. And that doesn't need to be the ultimate defeatist of, it's going to be done for the next 50 years because our cap is bad and our first round pick is bad. We have pieces. We have young players. It's not that we're going to be terrible for the next 20 years, but it's over this year. And I was the last person to admit it. And I finally got there. Yeah. We're just not there. The find the wins. The Steelers were one of those wins that you needed to find.
Right. Here's another issue, too, looking at the schedule, and I did this last week, is what are the tough games remaining on, assuming the Saints started playing football and took it to this next level and improved, which there was no reason. Why would they all of a sudden start playing better? But let's say they do. Who are the teams they can't beat? They can't beat the 49ers. I was like, oh, man, I think they can beat the Rams now based on what? The Saints being average, right? But they're not. They're not an average team. They're a below average team. Too bad. But
no, they're a bad team.
I looked at the Rams. I said, you know what? Anybody can beat the Rams now. So all of a sudden, that's an additional win. But we're going to lose to the 49ers. I can't remember now. There's a second team on that schedule that we're going to get smoked.
Philadelphia.
We're going to get smoked by Philadelphia. But here's the
thing.
Unless
they're resting their starters, then they'll only beat us by 10.
Right. But then looking at the Tampa Bay schedule, that one of the teams that needed to beat them was Seattle. And Seattle, actually, they were outclassed. I mean, Seattle really was never really in that game. Tampa Bay controlled it pretty much the entire game. So, again, when I say it's over, okay, you know what? I don't want to come on here after the game we lost and just, it's over. But, I mean, it was over last week. It's just we were hanging on to hope that something would change. And the only thing that happened is we got more injured. So, I just, you know, if anything, you could start beating your chest about how important offensive linemen are, because it's not their fault. Well, here's the problem with it's not their fault. It's on a smaller scale of saying like, hey, we're a defensive football team, so we're not going to be very good on offense, but the defense has to be great. Well, when the defense is average or below average, then all of a sudden offense is not. We needed the offensive line to create some semblance of an offense, and when they weren't able to do it, which you shouldn't have expected it with those guys, who are we relying on? Who were you going to say? And Craig, this just makes your point that you always talk about, and I give you crap, and I'm just joking because I know it's true. Without an offensive line, you could have had an all-star cast out there, but that offensive line with Landon Young and whoever that kid was playing center and Throckmorton, you weren't going to get it done even against a bad, you know, or a team that was playing bad football in Pittsburgh.
And they a bad team. We don't have to sugarcoat it. They didn't even play great today. We just played that much worse than they did. We dropped interceptions. We committed bad penalties. We got flagged for some questionable ones because we're the Saints, and that happens. We did nothing today to give anyone hope. And here I'm going to explain to you, and this is not my prediction. This is a fact. What's going to happen with this team is we're going to get hot at the end of the year. We're going to win two or three of our last, you know, three or four games, whatever it is. And we're going to have people going, oh, well, maybe next year, maybe we stick with this guy. Maybe we do this. And it's going to poison our goddamn souls for another offseason, because we have enough talent. Enough guys are going to get their shit together that they're going to win a few games towards the end of the year when guys are resting starters and teams have packed
quit
it up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when teams are just done trying. We're going to win two or three. We're going to end the season on a positive note. And people are going to think, we got Carolina in week 18. It's game 17, week 18. And we're going to beat the hell out of them in New Orleans. And people are going to go, well, okay, well, we look kind of good right there. Maybe. No, Dennis Allen cannot be the coach of this football team. I know we all know he will be, but he can't be.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. So Dennis Allen, okay, I am prepared now, and I usually there's just no excuse for it. Now, okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be accurate. I don't want to overreact. There is excuse for it. There's a lot of injuries. Having said that, before all the injuries, when you had the injuries that everybody has to deal with, everybody has injuries. Everybody has players that are hurt. Everybody's playing through injuries. And this team was obviously not doing well. And I look at other teams who have all kinds of injuries, and somehow they seem to play better. And so at some point, there's just something missing. And while I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a good coach. That is a absolute recipe for incompetence. You can't be successful without even a good quarterback and a bad coach. You're going to have some.
You need one of them to be successful, and you need both of them to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that's what everyone team wants to do, is win the Super Bowl, right? You need one of them to be successful, both of them to win the Super Bowl. We don't have either. And what does that get you? That gets you 3-7 arguing on a Sunday afternoon about how we got to fire our coach and bench Andy Dalton. That's what it gets you.
Right. Well, and so I don't know where this leads us. Now, here's the problem. And this is something that I kind of acknowledged. The Saints right now, and I know people don't, if you hire another coach, you have to make a commitment to him. You cannot fire Dennis Allen after 1 year, bring in another coach and fire him after 1 year. But who are you going to hire that's any good? And I know there's only 32 of these jobs, and they pay pretty well. But who are you going to hire that's going to take this job, no quarterback, no first-round draft pick, at least not at this point, and a roster that's bloated with cap issues? And so what's going to end up happening is you put yourself, I almost feel like the Saints are going to keep Dennis Allen, not because they think he has a chance to right the ship, but he's just going to be the whipping boy for another year, meaning this year and next year, until the Saints are in a position to adjust everything, get the cap right, get the quarterback in the house, get a draft pick. And then you bring in a coach that says, man, now I got a team, the cap's in shape, and I have a shot at a good young quarterback or what have you. I think that's what we're destined for. It makes sense to me. But I'm also the one who says, hey, that guy, he's not on injured reserve, so that must mean that he'll be back in 3 weeks or sooner. So what do I know?
Dave. Oh, you silly, silly man. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think that they pulled the trigger on Dennis Allen. I would, but I'm not, you know.
Okay, you said you would. Now you're in the chair. I just explained some of the points that – I would make if I was the GM or the president or whatever. And I'm saying to you right now, forget about your feelings. Forget about being upset for a moment.
No.
Do you fire him?
Yeah. Yeah. I fire him at the end of the year. I don't fire him midseason. I don't think that there's no benefit to putting an interim guy in there. It doesn't help you. You know, you're throwing in the towel at that point anyway. And, you know, there's no need to throw out the towel because we've already been fucking TKO'd in the third round, but I don't think you can go and – Saints are a small market. We have a very passionate fan base who went through a lot of really bad years before finally having a team that we could call our own and really, really make us proud, you know? And it's – all of that is gone. Everything that Drew Brees did for us, everything that Sean Payton did for us, it's all for nothing at this point, because all we have is, like you said, we are – cap is bloated. We're paying guys like Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis towards the end of their careers. We've got linemen that can't stay healthy for more than 3 or 4 games of the year that we're still paying. I'm pretty sure we're paying some money for Terron Armstead's last contract. We're screwed financially. Our draft picks, I'm not going to get into that. I don't think that we lost our first round pick this year. We didn't. We spent it already. It's on an offensive lineman, which is what I would spend it on this year anyway. So I don't think the draft is as big a deal, but coaching is important, and I would rather fire a coach in 1 year and make it clear to the next guy that failure will not be tolerated. I'm not even mediocrity. This has not been mediocre. This has been an abject failure. He was handed a much better roster than Sean Payton had last year. The receiver room was better. The O-line was better. The defense, you know, you can argue if it's better or worse, but it wasn't a whole lot worse. We added pieces. We lost some pieces. Defense was at least comparable to last year. And we went from being 9-8 and a half game out of a playoff spot to now last place in the worst division in football.
And, oh, yeah, I mean, okay, I feel like even being generous. I mean, you're talking about a roster that's not even competitive against teams with three wins. You know, and you got to put it in perspective. It's not like the fourth week of the season. You're talking 10, 11 games into the season, you are getting – we were manhandled today. Like, we were not competitive today.
Nope.
And I just don't think that that now, okay, can we make the argument that because of the whole reason Dennis Allen was kept is because of cohesion and keeping the, you know, running it back and keeping the team together, that maybe if he had his ruthers, he wouldn't have – damn it, can't even think of the name, offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael, you know, maybe he would have went in a different direction. You know what I mean? There were a lot of I don't know, man. It was funny as people like, oh, why wasn't Pete Carmichael ever hired away as a offensive coordinator? And it's like, well, you know,
right, Sean Payton's coattails that way.
Yeah, but I've seen other guys get hired, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Not Saints guys. Well, actually, there is the guy in Lombardi, you know what I'm saying? Now,
yeah. Detroit's head coach was our tight ends coach.
Yeah, so it's not
everybody
like,
else in this roster has been succeeding except for the ones we still have.
That's a good point. So I don't know. I think time will tell. Now keep in mind this organization is an organization that has gotten rid of head coaches in their professional sports teams after 1 year. Van Gundy gone after 1 year. The only difference, man, it's you know, you got Dennis Allen has actually been here and has been a good soldier. It's going to be interesting. My money's on they're going to keep him for another year, and not necessarily, I'm repeating myself, not necessarily because they want to give him another chance. It's because, listen, we can be arrogant. Oh, we're the Saints. The teams ain't going to look at it like that. They're going to look at it like, what do you have to offer me? And they're going to say, man, that looks like a recipe for me to be embarrassed and lose. And I'll be the next Dennis Allen over at the Raiders when people are looking at. Because here's the thing. People didn't want Dennis Allen. Why? Well, because look what he did for the Raiders. Oh, yeah, but, man, it was a bad Raiders team. They had this and they had no talent. And, well, you know, he comes to the Saints. They didn't care. Now, it seems to be that.
A load of talent with the Saints. What the hell did he do?
Right. But the point is this next coach who theoretically the Saints hire and get fired after failing, his next shot at it, the people are going to say the same thing. It's like, I don't know. He did so poorly in New Orleans. Well, I was set up to fail. So my point is we're not going to have a lot of options, man. What else do we want to talk about?
Well, I'm not done yelling about Dennis Allen. he had this stretch in Oakland. And yes, the kids out there, the Raiders used to be in Oakland. They also used to be in Los Angeles. So the more you know. Mm. He had a bad stretch with a bad team, and we didn't hold that against him here. The roster he was handed in New Orleans was not the same roster he got in Oakland.
No.
Results are exactly the same. Yeah. If you hold up their respective seasons, they're identical. I'm not being hyperbolic. They're the same. And Dennis Allen is the only consistent. And all right, I was a proponent of keeping him. When we did keep him, I said, that's good. We're going to keep the culture. We're going to keep everything status quo. The culture's gone. You have guys like Alvin Kamara who are quiet soldiers. Now they're standing up and making speeches because the locker room, we're not used to losing. This ain't right. We've already heard that it's different. Players aren't feeling it. It's the culture that we sacrificed a top, you know, name head coach to maintain. It's gone. It's not there anymore. DeMario Davis can make all the big dramatic speeches he wants. This team, it does not have that same swagger. It doesn't have that same bunker mentality. It doesn't have any of the things that we fought to keep. Carmichael's got to go. Allen's got to go. I don't think it'll be this year. I think you're right. I think, you know, Gale and Mickey, they're going to drag him out one more year until the cap is better and the picks are better. And we're just going to be a bad team for 2 years. And that's just how it works. And maybe things turn around after that. But I think you hit the nail on the head. We are going to be a bad football team for 2 years. So if you got a friend who's a Lions fan or a Jaguars fan.
Stop teasing them.
Or a Browns fan. You call them up and you give them a hug because we're going to be right there with them for a couple of years. Right there with your Detroit Lions fans because this is a garbage football team for a minimum year and a half.
Yeah, I think there's no way around it. And if you want to talk about, and this might be an argument for the other side. If we keep Dennis Allen, then what does that tell everybody in that locker room?
That we don't care about winning. We don't care about winning, Dave. Well, that we're going to waste the prime of a guy like Alvin Kamara. And God forbid Michael Thomas comes back and plays on the Saints. because we're going to waste the last couple of years of him being able to play football. Guys like Ryan Ramczyk, guys like
our center, McCoy,
we're going to take like, the prime of your years. Yeah. We don't care about your prime of years because we don't care about winning. So why should you?
Yeah, every guy who's already on the roster, who's a five-plus year veteran, they're no longer part of the plan anymore. You know, your Cam Jordans, DeMario Davis.
Your Marshawn Lattimores, all of them. Everyone who is in their second contracts, everyone who's not on rookie deals, you no longer matter. We are content to letting you waste the prime of your life, the prime of your careers, because we got to wait until the cap gets right. We're going to wait until since the dust clears. We're throwing the towel in on not just our seasons, but on people's careers.
Well, okay. Now I think you're going a little bit far, because here's the thing. I don't think they're doing
I'm
on
very
purpose.
Drunk, Dave. I'm very emotional.
Well, you know what? We did this one last time, and you could barely speak English. So if you're drunk now, you're doing much better than you were the last time.
Oh, yeah.
Now
that wasn't drunk. That was whoo. That was fun. That was an Auburn fan after the Iron Bowl is what that was.
but I think that, they don't have a choice. This is the results. And it's just a little, honestly, and I'm going to be a little condescending here to fans. When people would bring up like, man, this is going to be a problem for the cap. And they would basically scoff at you like you're an idiot.
He's talking about me, guys. Eventually, he's talking about me, everyone.
Eventually, you do have to pay for it. And here we are. And what that means is, people don't get this. They're like, oh, just roll that. What they did with a guy like Cam Jordan, all these guys to get this money to get under the cap, they added years to a 30 some odd year old player. And that's the point that people were not getting is like, yeah, if it's a 26 year old player, man, let's add two more years to their contract, spread that out, give them this money up front. And it helps the cap. The problem is now, if you cut Cam Jordan costs you $35 million against the cap. They were talking about trading Alvin Kamara. We already looked at it. You can't do it. $30 million or so. Thomas. Well, you know what? Thomas, this is it, man. We got to move on from Thomas. And what? You cut him, and all of a sudden, it's a $35 million hit to
there's
the cap.
There's no point in cutting. Even after June 1st, there's no point in
cutting. Right, yeah. So my point is that this is when we see it. Now, I'm telling you about it. I'm telling you. I got no criticism because every time they did it, I was back there clapping, just like I have no criticism. And maybe we could talk a minute about this. I had no criticism when they traded all those picks and did all that stuff in the draft. And they got, there was no more excited person than me when they drafted Olave and Penning and used those picks to do it. So for me to come back and criticize them is complete hypocrite. And I'm
and seeing how Olave is making things happen with Andy fucking Dalton at quarterback proves to you that Olave was a fantastic pick. And everyone who's mad about trading up to get him is wrong, just flat out. Olave is a hell of a player and going to be a hell of a player.
I made this point to you. Now, this is putting pressure that's not fair just, on Penning. But, man, it's not unforeseeable if the Saints end up with the sixth pick of the draft. Hell, it could be the first pick of the draft now. But let's just call it the sixth.
It fucking might be.
If Penning ends up being a top left tackle, I'm not saying the best or whatever, but a good, very good, solid left tackle, man, those guys get drafted in the top 10 all the time. So it's not. Now, having said that, the reality of it is, okay, do we get that left tackle or a career top quarterback?
I hear some people who say it's easier to put pieces around a quarterback than it is you draft a quarterback.
I'm not going to say that
name because they're not on here right now.
Okay, good. As long as it ain't me, because that ain't me.
Some folks might have that wrong opinion that drafting quarterbacks is a gamble. But to your point, yeah, if Penning is a starting left tackle in the NFL for 5+ years, then it was worth it. And that's a top 10 pick. You spend a top 10 pick on a starting left tackle. That's the price. That's what it goes for.
Well, one way or another, I was looking at it and I saw the Dilfers and all these different people who run Super Bowls that everybody likes to allude to. Tell me the other people who've done it. Brad Johnson. Tell me the other people who've done it. And I quite frankly, not many people. Yeah, Joe Flacco's another. There's a handful of people that did it. But you have to have historically great teams around them to have that compute. So anyway, listen, we got to wrap it up now. I had a great time. We're going to do another show later in the week. So for Craig, I'm Dave Romero, and we'll talk to you, in a couple of days here. Okay.
Yeah. Don't miss me too much, guys.